This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Even though the pandemic is mostly over, most of us are still working from home for at least some of the week, and some employers, they're not happy about it. So to motivate us to get back into the office, some employers are linking time in the office to career success. Is it fair or is it aggression on behalf of the employers? Associate Professor John Hopkins is from Swinburne University. John, great to have you back on Drive.
Good afternoon. Great to be back, Warren.
We've already seen some employers threaten bonuses if their staff don't come back into the office. Do we know which companies in Australia or which big companies have done this so far?
Yeah, look, the first I'd heard of this was around about September last year, and it was in the UK. So Citibank were the first large employer to tie attendance in the office to a performance metric, such as pay rises, bonuses, promotions. But later in the year, around about November, it did land on our shores as well. And Origin, Suncorp and ANZ were the first companies to do it.
What's one thing I guess I don't understand is whenever I've had staff working for me, I've said, you know what, I don't care where you do it, as long as it gets done. Why are these big companies so desperate to see staff come back into the office?
Yeah, look, I mean, you're probably best asking them that question. But what I would say is, in their defense, I think the hybrid work model where your employees spend some of the time working remotely, mostly from home, and some of the time in the office, it's still relatively new. I think a lot of organizations thought it was going to be a short-term measure, but I think they've eventually recognized that it's probably here to stay. And they're really kind of trying to find how to leverage that to its best capabilities. So I think it's partly that. And it's also important to remember that these aren't measures to incentivize a full return to the office or 5 day back in the office. It's more about incentivizing employees to return back, say, two and a half to 3 days per week. So I think it really is around the fact that these organizations are trying to find the best way to leverage the hybrid work model, and that if it is a hybrid work model, it does require some presence in the office. It's not a fully remote model, but it's really trying to find how many days works best for the type of people they have and the type of work that they're doing.
One thing, but incentivizing, I mean, does that also involve threatening career success to get back into the office?
Yeah, look, it's certainly a fine line between the two. And when you start linking performance, or rather attendance, to things like a pay rise, a bonus and a promotion, you know, it's serious stuff and it certainly gains people's attention. And I would really worry about those employees who are doing really well, they're performing well, hitting all their targets and doing everything else other than coming into the office 2.5 days per week as expected. And what impact is that going to have on them if they miss out on a bonus or a pay rise just because of the attendance factor?
And also, couldn't it disadvantage certain people as well who may not be able to necessarily get in to the office for that particular quota of time?
Yeah, look, 100%. What I would say is there are certain workers who are more than capable of performing a role, but they might struggle to attend an office or travel into the office and commute 5 days per week. So definitely if the requirement is enforced, there are certain groups who will be disadvantaged for sure.
We're chatting with Associate Professor John Hopkins from Swinburne University of Technology about whether linking time in the office to your career success is a good way to get us back into the office. John, I'm just thinking, I mean, it's a pretty good job market out there at the moment. Could this potentially come back and bite some of the big employers? If we're thinking about, ANZ and there's some other big banks there that haven't done anything yet, couldn't they just switch companies?
Look, I think in a job market that's generous and favoured towards the employee, there certainly might be options, and they would look at a role where they are now and let's say that the requirements come in the office doesn't fit in around what they would like personally. they certainly might have the opportunity to look at alternatives, and it would definitely have an impression on them for sure.
How is there any evidence that says being in the office is actually does improve the way you do your job?
Yeah, look, actually, it says the opposite. So there has been some recent research. Glassdoor, the company who recruitment website, they did some research recently about return to office mandates and the impact that they have. And they actually have a negative impact, as you would imagine, on employees in terms of job satisfaction and work-life balance and engagement and things like that. But at the same time, they don't have any positive impact in terms of profitability of firms and things like that. So these mandates, there isn't any actual success that forcing people back into the office is actually going to improve your performance or your profitability anyway.
It just reminds me of being back at school and being told, you know what, if I don't go there, I'll have my pocket money suspended for the week. It just reeks of that.
It is a bit like that, I would agree. So I would imagine that firm should really look at the things that matter. Mm. So whatever organisation, whatever business you're in, you'll have your vision, you'll have your mission, and you are there to deliver value to customers, whether it's products or services or whatever it might be. I would say that attendance and whether your employees do their work at home or in the office should be much further down the list of significance compared to some of the other measures. And look, that is certainly one of the key criticisms of this. And also, how are employees going to behave if they're, if there's essentially an attendance register being taken every day? And I would also imagine that this could lead to, not only does it create more work for managers, managing and monitoring this, but also I think it'll lead to some difficult conversations in the future with those star performers I mentioned before that might not necessarily have met the attendance expectations for that organisation.
I want to see them, do the hands up when they do the roll call every morning to record the attendance.
Yeah, look, it definitely does remind you of that. And I think for a lot of people in office jobs, now in factories, it's been quite common for many, many years that you will clock in and clock out. But I think for people in an office, that's probably one of the benefits, is that you don't have to do that. So for a lot of people, it will be a big change.
Definitely. John, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. That's Associate Professor John Hopkins from Swinburne University of Technology.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.